In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. When we have a topic such as has been set for our conference this week, Go and Bear Fruit, it is very easy to immediately start thinking of numbers of people who are attracted to our missionary service in various places. And so I'm very glad that we have spent time thinking in some detail about bearing that inward spiritual fruit that describes the sort of people that we are as Christians. It would be very easy to be very busy, engaged even in missionary service, and yet not be those people that God requires us to be. It is possible to be engaged in much missionary service and not have experienced the life of Christ for ourselves. And as I said in my first talk yesterday, it seems to me that we are to be united to the vine, to Christ, who is our life, and only then are we able to bear witness to those things we have experienced ourselves. This morning I would like to speak a little bit about the British Orthodox experience of going and bearing fruit. I will just recap a little bit about who I am. I am Father Peter Farrington, a priest of the British Orthodox Church, and we are a small group of Christians with our own British bishop, British clergy and people, who are working in the British Isles as part of the Coptic Orthodox Patriarchate to bring the Orthodox faith to the people of the British Isles in our own English language and culture. That doesn't mean that we have had to abandon large aspects of the Coptic tradition. We have preserved most of it intact, and it is translated adequately and fruitfully into our English language and our English tunes and music. It seems to me that perhaps our experience over many years has something which bears on this topic of going and bearing fruit. It seems to me that that really is the missionary incentive that we have. The word mission comes from missio, which is the Latin for being sent, and we know that people are sent on a mission. We also know that the word apostle comes from the Greek apostolos, which also means being sent with a message. And our missionary work is truly an apostolic one in many places. There is that inward evangelism in which we are engaged, seeking to share the good news with those young people and less educated spiritually people among our own congregations. We are doing evangelism in the areas close to our communities, where we have some part of the life of the society, but in many places we are called and are now looking to be busy in doing real missionary work, where we are going beyond those places where we feel comfortable and are seeking to bring the message of the Orthodox gospel of Christ to people who have never heard it before. We are in fact called to make disciples and not converts. In my experience in the British Isles over many years, as someone who was trained as a Protestant pastor and missionary for 3 years at a Protestant seminary, I have to say that I think on many occasions I have experienced people trying to convert me and not make me a disciple. Much of the work that takes place on the streets in the British Isles, especially with visiting American Protestant missionaries, is trying to make some quick, immediate impact that will bring a person to make a decision that they are hardly prepared for and not able to build upon afterwards. It doesn't seem to me that that is what Christ calls us to be engaged in, nor does it seem to me that that is a proper means of us doing this Orthodox missionary ministry. We must be in it for the long term, and that means that we must be willing to commit ourselves, our resources, our time and our energies to those people among whom we are sent. Discipleship requires many things. It seems to me that first of all it requires a church structure in which people can be brought into, to be fed and nourished. We are not seeking to make occasional converts here and there who return to their homes and their lives with some vague idea of what orthodoxy means, but no ability to share in our sacramental and spiritual life. On the contrary, in every place where we are sharing the gospel, we are wishing people to become followers of Christ on a journey that will take the rest of their lives. And to be able to make disciples, we must surely be those who are disciples ourselves. We must be those who have already experienced being under the spiritual care and guidance of our own spiritual fathers, being obedient to those in authority to us, being regular in our attendance at the services and sacraments of the Church, and seeking to be engaged with our energies and commitment to the services and ministries which the Church offers to those around us. In the discipleship that the British Orthodox calls the British people to, we are not able to ask people to join very large congregations. In all of those places where we are working, in most cases they are very small groups of people. Perhaps the largest places have 30 or 40 or 50. But from the very beginning of our contact with people, we are asking them to unite themselves to the structure of our Orthodox Church. And that means that even with the smallest groups of believers that we gather together, we are seeking to be engaged in mission from the very beginning, because mission is one of the defining features of the Church. We are seeking from the very beginning, even with the smallest groups, to engage with the poor and the needy in our local communities, even in a very small way. And we are seeking in every place, however small we are, to encourage people to develop that regular daily life of prayer, which is the foundation of our life in Christ. Whatever the size of the group we are working with, we are seeking to build the Church in that place, and not simply a group of isolated and individual converts. I consider myself a missionary priest serving under a missionary bishop, and that means that much of my own focus must be on going out, finding those people who are seeking orthodoxy and seeking to serve them with the resources that we have. How is it that in Britain we are able to go and meet the needs of those around us and bear fruit? I was talking a little earlier with someone outside about the practice of some groups, especially Protestants, Jehovah's Witnesses as well to some extent, of preaching in the streets. And I think in the British Isles this is no longer a fruitful means of reaching people. Certainly in the busy streets of London, people are rushing here and there and don't have time to stop and listen. And even in the smaller towns where I live and work, it's rather an oddity for someone to be standing and shouting in the street. People hesitate to stand and join a crowd listening. There are other ways now, I believe, in the 21st century that British people engage themselves with understanding orthodoxy. One of these, first of all, is through the networks of contacts that already exist. When one person in the British Isles becomes an Orthodox Christian, they are not isolated from their family and friends, and they are filled with a concern that their family and friends should share that spiritual life which they have discovered. For many of us, we have had to be encouraged to think about the needs of others, and for many of us, we have to think about how hard it is to approach people we do not know and begin to share our Orthodox faith. But as we begin to see people becoming Orthodox Christians, we find that they already have their networks of contacts in place, and they are already busily engaged in mission, wanting their parents, their brothers and sisters, their children, their friends, their colleagues at work to learn something about what has turned their life around. This is certainly the experience I have found in many of our missions in the British Isles. Some of our best missionaries are those who have recently become Orthodox Christians. It has made a difference in their life, and so they are not ashamed to bear witness to what God has done. Whereas for some of us, we feel that we have too many complicated things to try and explain. We worry about how we can make our message simple. We are embarrassed and a little ashamed to approach people. When someone has the Word of God fresh in their heart and mind, they have none of these problems, and it becomes easy for them to share the faith. We also find that being active on the internet is an extremely useful way of placing us among people. I'm not only active on many religious and Orthodox places on Facebook, but I'm in contact with a great many people who are not yet Orthodox, but are on different stages of their journey to the faith. I am friends with some of the friends of those who have become Orthodox. Some of them are not Christian at all, but I notice on Facebook when they have family occasions, and I give them some greeting or blessing in the name of Christ. And I find that slowly this makes a difference. I'm able to develop a relationship with people, and that allows me some space to share our Orthodox gospel. Being active on Facebook and other forums online gives me an opportunity of being aware of many people in the British Isles at once, who are interested in Orthodoxy and are asking questions. And having been present for many months and years, and having gained something of a reliable reputation in some places, people are willing to ask me questions if they are non-Orthodox, because they believe I will give them a valuable and honest answer. We also produce many websites in the British Orthodox Church, so that when people type in England and Orthodox because they are beginning some journey of investigation, we hope they will find our websites and make contact with us. And we've written some books, and we arrange many events. We find that there are lots of different ways that we can place ourselves in front of people in the British Isles. But we have found that the best model to approach people is one of education and not of persuasion. We do not feel that it is our ministry in a very short time to convince someone by clever words or arguments, but we believe that we must commit ourselves to months and years of relationship sometimes, slowly helping people to develop their understanding of our Orthodox faith, and slowly helping people to put that faith into practice. One of the main events that we organise on a regular basis is a study day called the Orthodox Way of Prayer. This is an event that will take place in someone else's church usually. Often I have borrowed an Anglican church, sometimes a church from one of the other Christian traditions. We try and find a partner in a particular town or city who is happy for us to come and welcomes us with our message of the Orthodox spiritual life. We go with a message that is freely offered, and we hope that all those who come and attend the lectures will leave with some better understanding of how to pray for themselves. We begin with the Orthodox prayers from the Agbeia, and then I give one or two lectures on the meaning of prayer and how we can pray the prayer of the heart, the Jesus prayer. We share food together, and then in the afternoon someone will usually give a lecture illustrated with pictures of icons or something similar. And then we close again with the afternoon prayers from the Agbeia. In the British context, we find this works very well. People feel that they are not under any pressure. They are not being asked to become Orthodox on the spot. Nothing is being required of them, except that they enjoy a day together with other believers and learn something about how to pray better. We have found that these sort of neutral events work very well, and we would like to extend them to university campuses where this is possible, because again, what we are offering is a gift freely given. We are not demanding anything from those who attend. We are asking only that they enjoy what we present. We are quite careful not to present ourselves in our own ministry as being exotic. We don't want people to think of us as being Egyptians or want to be Egyptians. We want people to simply come and understand that we are teaching British people in a British way something about our Orthodox understanding of prayer. And we have found that these sorts of events and these sorts of services on the internet and in other places have borne fruit. What happens when someone contacts us? I have a long list of people that I am dealing with, many hundred, and they are scattered across the British Isles. Some of them only want to be in contact and send messages by email, but it is necessary to spend time and commitment in answering their questions as thoroughly as possible. Others ask that I will come and speak to them privately, and so wherever they are in the country, if it is possible, I will set out in my car and go and spend a couple of hours with them in their house or in a coffee shop, and we will talk freely about the Orthodox faith. In a few other places, I have several names together who have contacted me, and so in those places, I have suggested that we begin meeting together one evening and praying the Agbeia together, and then I give some Orthodox instruction. But it seems to me that the most important aspect of this service is that I am able and willing to go where they are. This makes a great difference to people. If someone is told that they can become Orthodox or learn about Orthodoxy, but they must travel 200 miles, very few people will take up the offer. But if I am willing to go 200 miles and speak to people for 1 hour, then it seems to me that they understand that I believe, at least, that the message I have come to bear is of great value, such that I will give up a day and many hours in driving to be with them. Even more so when we are serving in other countries. It seems to me that the very fact that we have gone to another country that is not our own is already part of our gospel message. It shows how seriously we take what we are sharing with people. This aspect of going and bearing fruit seems to me to be very important, and the going is itself part of our message. Discipleship takes a lot of time. It is possible to convert someone in a few moments, but that doesn't mean that they will make any progress in the Christian life. It doesn't mean that they will have understood what we have said to them properly. In my own experience, I first came into contact with my bishop perhaps 5 years before I was baptized into the Coptic Orthodox Church. My situation was perhaps a bit different, because in the time I was interested in Orthodoxy, there was no easy way for me to become an Orthodox Christian. I knew only the Russian and the Greek churches, and both of these seemed to require me to be either a Russian or a Greek cultural speaker and understander before I could become Orthodox. Now things are different. Not only do we have some English used in many of the Coptic churches in Britain, but the British Orthodox Church is committed entirely to serving the mission of the gospel in our English language. It is very much easier for people now to come and share in our worship, understand what is happening, and be introduced to our faith and our spirituality by someone from their own background. I think that also makes a great difference. And as we are serving in other countries and we find that there are men and women who become Orthodox and whom we can trust, we will find the fact that they are members of their own community and culture and are able to share their faith among their own people will have a very great and fruitful effect. Discipleship is also required within the church. Of course, I've spoken with many of you and many other clergy in other places about the number of young people who leave the Orthodox Church or drift away as they are growing up. And there is a need for young people and for each one of us to be disciples in an ongoing basis in our spiritual lives in the church. We need to look around us, as I know the Coptic Church is, and ask how we can make disciples of our own people, how we can make disciples of our own children in our families. And even in the small scale of the British Orthodox Church, it is not enough for me to congratulate myself that we have had 5 or 10 people baptized in a place. I must immediately and always be conscious of their need to grow in discipleship year by year. If we are not growing in our discipleship, then we are slowly withering away. And in time, even those who we bring to the faith as new Orthodox Christians, if they are not made disciples, will slowly find that the life of Christ dries up in them, and they will leave us. The experiences of my dealing with people are that I am willing to go almost anywhere in the country and work with even one person. In our mission in Windsor, I was approached by an old man who wanted to learn about the Orthodox faith. He had already read many books, but he had not had any experience of meeting any Orthodox people. And so I drove over in February a couple of years ago, and I had coffee with him, and we spoke for a couple of hours, and we prayed some simple prayers together. I promised that I would be back the next month, and I drove over, and this time we prayed the morning prayers from the Agbaya together, and then we spoke again at some length about the Orthodox faith and spirituality. After 1 or 2 more months of me driving over, we felt that we should pray in the local Anglican church, since we had a commitment of meeting together for prayer. And in the first time that we prayed the Agbaya together one evening, I had advertised it locally, I fully expected there would only be this man and myself there, and I was still happy to go and pray with him. But in fact, 8 people came that first night, and each month as we prayed the Agbaya, more and more people joined, one at a time. Some of them were already Orthodox Christians who were completely isolated from their own communities, and they were glad to be able to worship with us as Orthodox Christians. Some other were families with young children, and they appreciated the fact that they could pray our simple Agbia prayers, and the service was not so long that their children would become disruptive and feel uncomfortable. But some of them, and increasingly many of them, have been people who are not Orthodox at all, people who have a growing interest in the Orthodox faith and are wanting to learn from us and join themselves with us. Many of these people are on a journey that will still take several more years, and it is required of us, myself in the mission there, and for all of us in our mission, that we are faithful and persevere for the long distance journey. Mission is not a sprint, it is a long distance trek. And in the case of those I am working with in Windsor, if I had not driven over regularly to meet one man, then we would not have the community that we do there now. In one of my missions in Stoke, in the north of England, the people there are of a very friendly British sort of culture. Family means very much to them, and friendships. They are educated and intelligent people, but simple-hearted, and they love very easily. I first came into contact with some of them on the internet. Just one person was asking questions on an Orthodox forum, and she was receiving some answers from some rather hard-hearted Orthodox people, I have to say, who were giving some very problematical answers about how she should separate herself from everyone else if she was wanting to become Orthodox. I privately sent her some messages of encouragement, and again, slowly over many months, she continued to ask questions of many other Orthodox clergy and people, but we came to develop a relationship together so that she trusted my understanding and experience of Orthodoxy. And she felt that in my responses there was the love and the life of God in some sense. And so I drove up to meet her and some of her family. She wanted her family, her father, and her father's partner and her brother to also experience something of Orthodoxy. And so when I drove up to Stoke on the first occasion, it's about a 3.5 hour drive for me, I found I was sitting in a small living room in a small house with 6 other people. Each of them were wanting to learn more about Orthodoxy. None of them had attended an Orthodox service. They had each one of them bought the Orthodox Study Bible and had them there on their laps, waiting for me to arrive. And again we prayed from the Agbaya together, and I spent several hours with them beginning to teach them some of the aspects of our Orthodox faith. I made many more of those journeys and gave up many days and felt tired afterwards. But each journey to Stoke fills me with encouragement, because the people there are receiving the Orthodox message as one that is life and salvation and is truly changing their lives. And it is these people in particular who encourage me to believe that when we make people disciples, they are already the best missionaries that we can have, because they are not content with sitting with me as a small group of people. They want all of their friends and neighbours to attend our services and studies and discover Orthodoxy for themselves. When I travel to Stoke, I normally get there early in the afternoon if I am leading an evening study, and many of us meet in a restaurant, the same restaurant where we have some evening meal together. And whoever the lady is who comes to serve at our table, the people in my mission in Stoke cannot help explaining who they are, that I'm an Orthodox priest, and that there are Orthodox Christians now worshipping in Stoke, and the lady who is serving us is welcome to come and see how we worship. It would be very hard for me to take a group of older Orthodox Christians and encourage them to be so brave. But when someone has just discovered life in Christ for themselves, they cannot be silenced, and they are our best missionaries and our most encouraging missionaries. When I get back from this visit here, I will be starting a new mission in the town of Swindon. I have discovered by looking at all of the contacts and people I am praying with that I have about 20 people who are all within travelling distance of that town. I contacted a local Anglican leader in that place. I hesitate to do anything without the support of my bishop and without some sense that doors are opening. And he wrote back an email to me saying that he was so glad to receive my gracious and God-filled message, and that I was to believe that we would find a warm welcome in the town of Swindon, and that we would find ourselves among friends. That seemed to me to be a great indication that God was opening doors for service in that town. And I've corresponded with the 20 people who are on my list, and they're all very happy to be able to come together and form the beginnings of some sort of Orthodox community. Some of them are Orthodox already, but isolated from their churches, and so we will celebrate the liturgy together. Others are not Orthodox at all, and so we will also have a great deal of study and education together. But it requires me also to travel many hours on a regular basis to go where they are, because it seems to me in the British Isles this is the only way we can bear fruit. In this month also, tomorrow, my own spiritual father is opening a new mission in the city of Bristol. It is a very long drive for him to get to that place. And as a missionary priest, he is working through the day each week in a factory and will be very tired. But he is making the effort once a month to begin with to go to the city of Bristol and begin a ministry there. In the British Orthodox Church, then, we are committed to the idea that if we will not go, then we cannot bear fruit. If we will not make the effort ourselves, we cannot make disciples. If we cannot remain faithful and persevere with people, whatever the ups and downs of our relationships, then we will not bring them to the place of baptism and membership in the church. Of course, we use the broadcast method of distributing the seed. You will remember in the parable of the sower how the sower would walk up and down the field with a great bag of seed strapped around his shoulders, and he would throw the seed to the left and the right, and some of it would fall on the path and be eaten up. Some of it would fall among the rocks at the side of the field and would not have any life in it, but some of it would fall in the good ground. And I think that that describes much of what we are doing in the British Isles. We are seeking to scatter the seed using the various mediums that we can and advertising our activities. But when we see that a seed has taken root in even a small way, then we no longer become like the sower scattering here and there. We become like the careful gardener who takes the greatest care over every little fragile plant. He waters it when it needs watering. He removes the seeds around it so that it can grow well. He keeps away the birds who might eat it, and he waits for it to grow into a healthy plant that will bear fruit itself. It seems to me then that that also is part of what is required of us. We must go and scatter the seed, but when it takes root, we must have the care of a careful gardener, watching over every plant that the Lord has established. How do we measure the fruit in our missionary service? It would have been very disturbing and discouraging in the British Orthodox Church if we only considered the numerical basis of our fruitfulness. We have had many years where we have seen very little growth and slow growth, and God has called us to persevere and learn faithfulness ourselves. For myself, I am now 51 years old, and I am only now beginning to believe that I might be of some little use to God. My life has been so poor and unchristian that it has taken God all of this time to teach me those lessons which I have needed to learn. And it is only now, even in this last year, and only in these last months even, I am still learning, as we have just thought, how to truly trust God more and how to have faith in him. So it would have been very discouraging if we only looked at numerical growth. There is a time in the beginnings of all missions and in all missionary service and all service where sometimes there is not that great outward growth, but God is waiting to see if we are faithful. If we arrive and begin some ministry with a people and after 1 year we decide that there is not enough growth and we will disappear, then I think that God will perhaps judge us as not having been faithful to his call. I can think of many missionaries in the history of Christian missions, I'm thinking even of Protestant missionaries, And some of them have spent their entire lives in some city or town in a foreign country, and they have been prayerfully preparing the ground for some other generation who come and suddenly discover there is a harvest. We should not discount the great value of faithfulness and perseverance. We should not expect always to see the harvest ourselves. We are not called always to bring in that harvest, but we are called to do whatever the Lord of the vineyard asks us to do. There is a spiritual growth that we should be looking for, and I think that that is much more important. We should not neglect the numerical growth, and we should be asking ourselves if we are not seeing it. But much more important is that in all those of us who are engaged in the missionary service, and in all those who we are working with in the various places who are becoming Orthodox, we must ask of each one, are these people becoming more spiritual? In my own experience as a missionary priest, I am working in 4 or 5 or 6 places. It is necessary for me to have the same care as the best pastor of each of these people I am dealing with. In many places, perhaps 2/3 or more of them are not yet Orthodox, but they must still be in my daily prayers. I must still reflect on their needs each day and ask how I can serve them so that they might grow in their own spiritual life. There is a very great need for this personal and pastoral care among those we are doing missionary work. It is not enough for us to arrive in a place and preach the gospel and then think that the job has been done. The job has only just begun. And so let me say then that we must go and bear fruit. And sometimes that going doesn't require us to leave the places where we are, as I've said. But it means that we must leave our own settled circumstances and be willing to do whatever God places before us as his will. For many of us, we will indeed be asked to go, sometimes only to the next town, sometimes further afield, sometimes even to other countries. But there is a need for us to leave our families and our friends in the obedience to God's call. We must be perseverant. We will not see fruit immediately in most cases. We may not see fruit for many years in many cases. Those who are watching us are waiting to see if we are faithful to them. But we will discover that as people from outside the church become Orthodox, new networks of contacts open up that can bear fruit very quickly. We may not feel that we are the best Christians and that we set a poor witness, but when someone hears the message of Christ from our lips, and when it changes their life and they become part of the church, then they are filled with a zeal to share what they have experienced with others. One last example from the city of Stoke, where I have a mission. I baptized 5 people there earlier this year, and I'm working with a very small group of people who are interested in Orthodoxy. But when these 5 people were baptized, we had about 100 people come to the service. They would never normally come to an Orthodox service at all. Many of them are Pentecostals and Charismatics, but because it was their friends and their family who were being baptized, they were willing to come to the church and experience something of our Orthodoxy together. And we were able to offer food, show them that we were not strange people, we were British people like them. So the networks that we find when we see people become believers, these, I believe, are some of the most important ways in which the Church of Christ grows quickly in different places. May we consider then how God wishes us to go, where he wishes us to go, how he wishes us to support those who are engaged in the various countries in missionary service, so that our minds, at least, and our hearts are always set on others and not always thinking of our own comfort. May we become those congregations who are always thinking of the needs of those outside rather than only our own. And as we become people like that, I believe that together, as servants of God in this Orthodox Church, we will see that numerical growth that we desire for the salvation of souls and the glory of God. Amen.
Thank you, Father Peter.
When you come, I will teach you it, and we will sing it together.
عندي سؤال كده مراجعة اللي قال أبونا I have a question. Father Peter gave us like 7 or more techniques of evangelizing in Europe. Can you count with me the ways of preaching? He mentioned educational events, internet, local servants. Yes, focusing on few people at first, visitations, going out of the church, prayer meeting, preparing disciples, network of connections, contacts. Yes. Yes. What else? Traveling to many. Not being too pushy. Okay. Follow up. Advertising any event. Relationships. Yeah, perseverance. Yes, go ahead. Sending messages. Okay. Show them that we are normal people, British in his country. Yes. Same cultural approach. Pardon. Same language and same tunes. Yet, not pushing and not expecting very fast results. Going anywhere, even outside any church, in a coffee shop or restaurant. Using other churches' facilities. Yes. Sharing the prayer or praying for these people to believe more. But you know, I think you mix techniques or ways with the principles of evangelism. You mentioned both in your answers, but it's okay. Anyone want to add anything? Church structure. Okay. Keep them in our prayers, even if they are not yet baptized or not yet grown up. Yes. Discipleship, continuous discipleship, even for the evangelist himself. Go ahead. Focusing on, yes, on the young people for the future. Okay, that's nice. Go ahead. Yes, believing in Agbaya and praying Agbaya with others even before they completely, you know, believe in our orthodoxy. Yeah, proactive and announcing and advertising whatever we do. Yeah, answering back the questions of those who seek orthodoxy in a polite and flexible way. Spending enough time with the people in a humanistic social way, so people can trust him more and can follow him after. Quite. Yeah. Yes, we need to produce some movies about this. You know, it will help sometime, somebody. Yeah, one person in a family can bring his and other families. Friendship with a long-term relationship can bring up many fruits. Engaging people in some of the activities like caring for the sick or poor people. scattering seeds everywhere and following up as strong as you can. Prayer stands behind all these activities, a real life of prayer and a clear vision. That's very important. Thank you. To get out away from our comfort zone and relaxed situation. Yes. Yes, using always the psalms in prayer and believing in the power of these prayers. Okay, by the way, Father Peter mentioned all the pillars of being an Orthodox missionary. So that's a real course of evangelism. Thank you, Father, for being here with us.